Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm with my friend Wanda. And Wanda, I don't want to steal too much of your thunder, but I want to kind of set it up for everyone. So whether they're listening on the podcast or watching on our Sunday service, and it's a little bit about who you are and how you got connected to Meta. The brief part of it is you've been at Meta, I guess now, like we call this your Metaversary. So I think like October has been your Metaversary. So like a whole year connected to Meta, but you're not in New York City, although you're a native New Yorker. So catch us up a little bit about that. Like, where are you located? How did you get connected to Meta? And then we'll kind of jump into some of our conversation that we're going to have and share with our people today.
Well, good morning, Ricky. It's good to be with you this morning. So I'm from the west side of Manhattan, Upper West Side, 145th Street between Amsterdam and Broadway. I grew up in Common Avenue Baptist Church. My parents were from South Carolina, so spent lots of summers here. So this was home for me too. And after college, I came back to South Carolina, and that's where I've been since 1977. A friend of mine introduced me to Meta Church, and I checked it out online, listened to a couple of your messages, and I just felt like that was where God wanted me to be. That was the next move in my life. And I just haven't looked back. It's been really, really good. I'm a year in. And the other day I was looking at my journal of what I wrote last October as I made that move to Meta, because I was just unsure, am I doing the right thing? I had been somewhere else for about 11 years, and to just move, I'm not one to keep moving from church to church to church. And right. So God was surely saying to me, you were there for this phase of your life to learn these things. Now I'm moving you here. And his purpose for me here at Meta, I'm not sure, but I'm excited. It's been a good year.
Tell us a little bit about kind of like how you came to Christ, and then, maybe like a 2 to 3 minute version of like your faith journey, if you don't mind.
So I don't know that I was really aware that I was on a journey until I reached later in my life and reflected back over my life. It wasn't like I packed my bags and started out on this journey. So there's some awareness involved in it. So as I said, I grew up in the church. I was probably baptized maybe 12 years old, somewhere around there. Many people say, and I've been running for Jesus all my life. Well, I wasn't, I was baptized. I knew Jesus Christ. I had a foundation. And as what book is it? Jeremiah, where he says, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. So God knew me and had a plan for me. I was not aware, though, of what was going on. And so things were good, but I'm going to say probably one of my first real challenges was going off to college. It was the first test of now no one is watching over you like a parent or guardian. And I made some pretty bad decisions, sure. And a 4-year plan turned into a 5-year plan. And even to the point that I would say I denied Christ. I denied him because it gave me an opportunity to excuse my decisions and behaviors. The feeling of I can take away this guilt if I say there really isn't a God, that, that's just what people believe in, but, I'm good. That was probably the worst decision I ever made, and things, you hit that fork in the road, and that's what college was for me. And I made the wrong decision about which road to take and continued down that road being bullheaded, And even as I said, saying, well, God doesn't exist, so I can keep going down this road. Well, it didn't get better. It wasn't like I reached a point where, the light shined. It was getting darker and darker. And so somewhere around year five, when I realized I'm in my fifth year of college, my friends have graduated and life is not good, I picked up the Bible that Convent Avenue Baptist Church gave me when I left for college. And the things that I knew in that Bible to be sure were the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. I knew that. And that's where, and probably for me, if I had to say, my journey began, although I really know my journey was before that. That was probably my first awareness of my journey.
So over these years, you know, I imagine as a mom, as an employee, as an educator, as a grandmother now, you have, you know, four adult daughters, and as a churchgoer, as someone who's serving and loving, doing their best to follow Jesus, that you've encountered. But have there been times or moments where you felt like, you know what, this is like really putting a strain on what I believe about God or who I believe him to be? But then if the answer to that is yes, then what has been kind of like the thing that you've come back to keep you tethered, to keep you connected to God?
Well, there were distinct things in my life, having the children, somewhere in probably the 11th year of my marriage fell apart. And I was left raising the children by myself. So money was a real challenge. At that time, I probably worked 2-3 jobs, maybe 4 at the same time. I was teaching Monday through Friday. I had a flea market business Saturday and Sunday. I was doing after school programs for children, summer camps, summer teaching. And I say all that because I didn't trust God to provide. So once again, I was taking the helm. I'm controlling. I'm wearing myself out trying to do these things. We got through it all. We never wanted for anything. All four of my children have done college. And I can only attribute that to God's goodness. Mm-hmm. And so what helps me stand firm is to look back at all the things that he's done for me. Yeah. Even though probably at the time when I was in it, I thought I was making the decisions, but he was bringing me along. And it would have been even easier had I trusted more then. So now I'm at a point in my life where there's still some things I have planned. Yeah. But I just sit tight in patience. I had an aunt, you know, a very faithful woman, and maybe she was in her 80s at this time. She may have even been in her 90s. And she said she was getting her kitchen remodeled. Well, I thought, I don't know why, because I'm not sure how much longer you're going to use that kitchen. And she could see in my face. You know, and she said to me, I didn't use those words, but she said to me, I don't care if I only use it one day. This is what I want, and I'm having my kitchen remodeled. And she did, and she used it for many years after that. You know, she was into her 90s, I think, before she passed away. And so I think about the things that I still want in life. But I'm not going crazy and taking control of it and I'm going to make it happen. I have learned through my walk with Christ that he said yes, and he's going to handle it. And yeah. I need to sit tight and make the moves that he tells me to do at that yeah. time and let it all come to fruition. I don't have to steer it. He's got it. I've talked to him about it. And he's like, I'm going to set you up well for this last phase of your life, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't there years ago where I could mm-hmm. say, I'm going to sit tight and trust that he's going to do it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt now, he yeah. is going to do it.
So tell me this, I guess, with over the course of your life, there's like these different situations and financial stress. And, you know, I grew up in a single parent household, mom with three kids working for a nonprofit. Like, and I know some people struggle financially. There's other people who struggle relationally. And there's, or some who feel like, in a sense, they've been given everything. They got the family, they got the career, but they're still, you know, unsatisfied with where they're at. From your vantage point, your experience, what would be some of the advice or the encouragement that you would offer to our church in terms of standing firm? Like if there was kind of like a couple of steps or a couple of like, what's Wanda's secret sauce, you know, for standing firm in faith? Because again, when I think about our church, so many of our people are either young in age or young in faith or a combination of both. And so what are some of the things that you've experienced that you gained from? You shared kind of looking back, but are there any other bits of advice like that that you could offer and say, hey, you know, looking back on my life, whether I realized it or not at the moment, this is what I've done or this is what I did. And it's helped me remain confident in the Lord. It's helped me remain steadfast in him and continue standing firm.
I think if I had to do it again, I would really focus on my faith that and not ever let it waver. Mm-hmm. God is real.
Yeah.
Bottom line, God is real. So don't go through the, well, what if, you know, mm-hmm. well, or questioning, you know, well, if he's real, then why this or why that? And you're wasting time. You're wasting yeah. precious time mm-hmm. on this scientific experiment of whether God is real. Our brains are limited. So mm-hmm. we're going to try to take our limited brain and understand a phenomenal God. I mean,
yeah, right.
Just don't go in the ring with that challenge. It's a yeah. waste of your time and you're going to waste years in that battle, in that challenge for you to arrive at the fact that God is real. Right. And so if starting out in life, you can accept God is real. I don't understand it all, but I know he is real. I know he will come through. I know he loves me. And just stand on that premise no matter what. So even when the ground gets weak underneath your feet, you say to yourself, God is real. He's not going to let me fall. There's a old gospel song that says he didn't bring me this far to leave me. And so he's not going to take you somewhere, as you said one Sunday, where you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. So yeah. just go with the flow, hold on tight, and at every opportunity, reflect back on your life, on the things that you were challenged with before, and how did they turn out
yeah.
when you put it in God's hands, or how did it turn out when you took control of it?
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, you challenged us to do a gratitude journal.
Yeah.
And so I've had that challenge many times in the past, and I would start and I wouldn't finish. And I'm still doing it now. And what was different, too, is I do it electronically. I use Microsoft yeah. OneNote, so I can pull up any device. And I just have a table set up with the dates, and each page is a different month. And I go in and I put something in, and it helps me with my reflection on I've been here before. You know, this is not a new place. I've been here before. Yeah. What was the outcome before? What was the outcome when I gave it to God? What was the outcome when I took control? And I released that control. I finally released the control. And that is my prayer for patience. If I'm going to release the control and give it to God, then I have to be patient because he's going to come through far better than I would have brought myself through. And so I look back on young people, and when we've been in some Zoom meetings with the young people, with the people of Meta, and I'm just so happy, excited to see those smiling faces. And I just think, please, please, please don't walk away from him. Yeah. You know, I want so much more for your life than that. You can avoid those pitfalls. Just stay focused and say to yourself, he is real.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, a couple of things that kind of that came to mind as you were talking, we look at everything other than God. And what your point is, like, hey, he's real, he's there, but keep looking at him. We look at the size of the enemy, the size of the problem, the size of the issue, and we lose sight of our God, the size of our God. And that's, you know, that's such a significant piece. We're wrapping up, and there's one thing that I wanted to kind of give you a couple minutes to kind of speak or share a little bit about, but we're kind of coming to the end of the calendar year. And so we were talking about the idea of doing a scripture reading group that reads through the Bible in one calendar year, whether it's one person, five people, or 50 people, something that is kind of held online, and we would meet to just not even have to, like, it's not a teaching, right? It's just read and then share what you're hearing, what you're processing, what questions you have in that. So tell us a little bit about kind of like your heart for that. And then what I'll do is I'll kind of wrap up with some instructions about how to get more information on that and what that timeline would look like.
Well, we talked about journeys, and I reached a point in my journey where I don't remember why, but somehow I decided I wanted to read the Bible. So I told you I grew up in the church. And so all those wonderful stories you learn in Sunday school, for me, they all happened maybe within 5 years of one another, you know, Daniel and Noah, everybody, y'all. Right. You know, and so it
that was one church, and there was just what was happening on the weekends.
Yes, you know, so I had really no time frame or any visual of how all of this was happening and why and all that good stuff. And you go to church sometimes and somebody will pull a scripture and just read it, and you don't have any context. So I really just somehow I wanted to understand. And so I said, I'm going to read through from beginning to end. And I started a 1 year plan through with the Bible Project. And that's how I read. And man, the stuff that was just revealed to me, it was so much. I enjoyed it, but I had so many questions. So when January 1st rolled around again, I did it again. Yeah. And I did it with Tara Lee Cobble, and I did a different version of the Bible. January 1st, I did it again, different version of the Bible. So this January, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to use a different version of the Bible, but I would love to have some folks just to sit and chat with. I'm not going to teach. I'm going to facilitate because I don't have the answers, but I would love just to have a group who's reading too, and we can meet maybe for 45 minutes and just chat about what we read, what we think, and just begin to put the pieces together and support and encourage one another. So, and my job is to facilitate the discussion. And so that's what I had in mind.
Yeah, we, you know, those of you know who know Chris and I, you know, we're huge proponents, big fans of reading through the Bible in a year, and doing that consistently is big. It's what I've been doing this calendar year. I joked a couple of weeks ago about taking a 90-day plan and turning it into 9 months. But this year I got back on track and said I'm going to do buildings. I'm actually just a couple of weeks away from finishing it up again for maybe the fifth or sixth time in my life. And I love it. And I'm a huge fan of it. So I think this is a great idea. If you're interested in that, I'd love for you to just fill out a Meta Connection card. We'll send out some details. We'll look to start this at the start of 2022. But here between now and then, we'll kind of set up a couple of email communications to let you know about what to expect and reading plans and some kind of maybe some starter tips to build up some confidence so you feel good about going into the new year with this. And so we're excited for Wanda to lead this. Wanda, thank you so much for being willing to not just facilitate that group, but then also take part of your day to share and speak into our church. We are super grateful that you're part of Meta and grateful that you're willing to invest in what God is doing here at our church.